Welcome to the Sour Patch Podcast.
What are you
I'm
talking
your host,
about?
Philip, and this is...
What?
Sour Patch King himself, Tyler Tran.
No, I'm the... Oh, my goodness.
Brought to you by Acceptable Accuracy.
Sour Patch Kids, sponsor us.
Wait. It's the Acceptable Accuracy Podcast brought to you by Sour Patch.
Yeah, I wish.
But not really brought
to you. He's only saying that because we have five packages of Sour Patch Kids right in front of us. But either way, like Philip said, welcome to the Acceptable Accuracy Podcast. I am Tyler, and...
I am Philip.
Yep. So today, we are going to go ahead and talk about range bag essentials. So, Philip, what is a range bag?
I feel misled. I really thought we were talking about Sour Patch.
No. Well, you can put Sour Patch Kids in your range bag if you
want. That is true. So what was your question?
What is a range bag?
Oh. So a range bag is a place where you can put all your snacks.
No, it isn't. Yes, you can put some snacks in your range bag. But what is a range bag?
Okay. So a range bag, in all reality, being semi-serious here, a range bag is something that you bring to the range.
Perfect. There we go. Podcast over.
Nailed it.
That's our shortest podcast ever. Our last podcast was
an hour and
40 minutes, and now we're done at 1 minute 20.
Thank you for listening to the Acceptable Accuracy Podcast, brought to you by...
Have a great day.
Just kidding. Okay, so all kidding aside, a range bag is something that you will take with you to a range. That is true. But there is a lot of items that we place within that range bag so that when we go to the range, we have a successful trip every time.
So my question for you, Philip, so with your personal range bag, do you have like a checklist where you're like, hey, before I go to the range, these are things I want to make sure I have? Or do you just keep everything in your bag and you just hope and pray that you're good to go by the time you get to the range again? What do you like to do?
So for me, it's just a matter of experience over time of not having the items on hand that I wish I had. So I will literally put items in my range bag and I will leave them there so that when I am going to the range, like the night before, I'm getting ready, putting everything together, that it's already there and I don't have to think about it. Mm-hmm. So for me, this bag is a lot of stuff. I have trimmed things out of it that I didn't use, but I have definitely added things over the years to it. Again, the idea is if you show up at the range, I've had enough times now where I've shown up, I go to get access to equipment or something like that, and I just don't have the one thing I need.
Right? For sure.
Whether like I forget a magazine or I forget like a key to a lock for a gun case or something like that. And then you've now burned a half hour driving to the range, a half hour home, then a half hour back, mm-hmm. right? So I try to not do that anymore. What is your take on range bag? Like, what do you do? Do you have that essentials in the bag at all times, or do you throw things in, put some snacks on top, and call it good?
So funny enough, I don't have snacks in my range bag.
Fun fact.
I know you do. I don't, because typically I do run to the store before the range almost every time to get a snack. Usually it's a protein shake, a energy drink, and maybe candy.
Definitely candy.
Every single time.
Gummy worms without fail.
Unless I am that late or rushing, and because of that I might get a speeding ticket. Not bitter about
that one at all.
That definitely did not just happen to me. But all right, moving on. So for me, with my range bag, I typically just keep it all in there. I don't have like a fancy bag that is like a true range bag. It's just a big old duffel bag that I used to use back in college. It was my gym bag. It's some old Nike gym bag, and I'd throw everything in there, and everything fits. And so everything's in there. And I like to make sure I might go through it if I have the time. I was like, okay, what do I have? Make sure my big thing, because I always seem to forget it, is my stapler, and make sure I actually have staples, because I have gone to the range before where I ran out of staples, or I forget my stand, forget my targets, forget my sticks. That's something I almost always forget about. If I'm going to the range, if I'm going like by myself and it's like a basic range day, usually I'm good to go. No worries. I just go for it. But if I have a more specific time, or if I'm going with friends, we're doing like Wolverine 5K training, or if I'm doing like maybe some church security stuff or whatever, then I might be a little more cognizant of like, hey, what do I have? Do I have everything? Because I might need extra stuff. Like, do I have my plate carrier? Do I have the drills that I want to go through? Do I have my clipboard? Because for some reason, I always forget a clipboard. So I have to ask them, like, hey, do you have a clipboard? No, I'll just go buy a clipboard.
Tyler, do you have your clipboard right now?
No, I do not.
No.
Well, I don't even have my range bag right now, so.
That's fair. I do have mine with me and brought out some of the items within it. For me, honestly, my range bag is really set up specifically for USPSA Plus.
Because that's your context.
Correct. And so that makes sense. Is what I use it with. And then within that range bag, I have everything I need to be able to shoot a pistol sport, actually including the pistol itself. Now, I got really lucky a few years back. I had a smaller range bag, and the zipper broke on it at a state match for a steel challenge. And literally that day was a random draw, and I pulled a competitive Edge Dynamics bag, like on the prize table.
It's a nice bag.
Which is fantastic. So if you haven't seen it, it's like a rectangle-y type bag, and it's cube, and it's designed specifically for shooting sports.
It kind of looks like a really big, fancy lunch bag.
Yes, for my snacks.
Yeah, it's funny because it kind of does look like, now that I think about it, it actually looks like a big lunchbox in a sense, because of all the compartments for me coming in, because I used to be really big and more of like the powerlifting bodybuilder. I was never a bodybuilder, but I had buddies who did, so it actually reminds me of their big lunch bags that had the different compartments where, like, this is where your protein is, this is where your food is, your powder, your pre-workout. So it's kind of funny looking. It's like, oh yeah, kind of reminds me of one of those bodybuilding lunch bags.
Absolutely. Speaking of bodybuilding, we can talk about a little bit about bag building. Now, if you're just getting into shooting, obviously there's going to be a few essentials that you have to have in your range bag to start from, like a, you know, protection, hearing protection, eye protection perspective, right?
Yes.
But then I think a lot of these items can be added over time. They're not necessities, and they're items that I picked up, again, over time. And it doesn't have to be a fancy range bag. It can literally be a duffel bag for you. Now, I will say, after having this bag for probably 4 or 5 years now at this point, it's been, I don't think I could ever go back just because it does have a compartment for everything. And it's really easy to get to the things that you need quickly, like magazines, for example.
Yeah. So on that topic, let's say, because most beginner shooters, where are they going to the range?
Indoor.
Typically an indoor range. Yep. So let's say you are complete novice, beginner, amateur shooter. You've only gone to the range maybe a handful of times. Going to an indoor range, what would you recommend? Like, these are your absolute fundamentals that you need in a range bag.
So one thing that's really cool about that is if you are a new shooter and you are going to an indoor range, a lot of times they can provide eye and ear protection for you. And if you're renting a gun and buying ammo, there's literally nothing you need to bring with you with the exception of your ID, right?
That's actually a really good point. I didn't think about that.
And that's intentional. They set up those ranges a lot in that way to make it easy and a pathway for people that are trying to get into shooting to be able to shoot easily. Now, because I am really big into electronic hearing, and I know it gets a little bit louder in an indoor range, but I'm a big fan of having like electric muffs so that you can put them on your head and then they will amplify the sound around you, including human voices, but then they cut out when they hear gunfire, right? So that would be probably if, like, the first essential I'd get would be like ear protection and then some form of eye protection that fits your head really well.
Mm-hmm.
What else would you add to that list?
In reality, I mean, your gun.
Right. Yep.
So that's true. If you're going to an indoor range, you are you're fairly new. Yeah, that's really all you need. You need your ID. You'll need your gun, ammo, hearing protection, and eye protection. That's essentially all you need, because at the range, typically they will already provide the targets. And worst case, you can buy all of that or rent that at the range when you're there. So now, moving on.
Your magazines too, though.
And your mags. Yep. Of course, your mag for your gun. And really, you only need one mag.
Correct.
So let's say you've kind of moved. Well, yeah, John Wick. we got to work our way up to John Wick,
okay,
bro.
Fine.
I'll say John Wick, he had his. John Wick 1, that's the best one. I think, what did he have? He had his HK.
Yeah.
He had like 3 spare mags. He had his Glock 23 small of back carry. And he had a knife in his shoe. Or his sock.
And multiple magazines around him.
Exactly.
With no hearing protection or eye protection.
No.
So I've determined that John Wick is probably deaf. He's also dead. Spoiler alert. Shoot.
I don't think he's dead.
It's been long enough.
It's been long. But yeah. He was in a club when he had it, so it was already loud enough. So did it really affect his hearing?
Yeah, I mean, it depends what you're shooting inside. If you're shooting like an AR inside, your hearing is probably toast. Sure.
So kind of moving on from that, let's say you're intermediate now.
Yep.
You've gone to the range. You've chosen like, hey, I'm a better shooter now, intermediate. I'm now an outdoor range shooter. What would you say for a range bag then?
Okay.
So definitely changes up a bit.
It does change things up quite a bit, and it does require a lot more stuff to have with you. And there are huge advantages to shooting outside versus inside. I personally prefer to shoot outside, and it's probably been a few years now since I've actually shot inside. I'll even deal with the cold in Michigan up here and go shoot outside versus going inside.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But I start to think of things that make sense for an outdoor range visit, right? Those absolute essentials that you have to have. One of them I would say would be a holster.
Yes.
Because a lot of times, it depends on the range, but the range that we're at, we're allowed to draw from a holster and fire on targets. Yeah. So it would definitely be a holster for the firearm that you have. Now, you could have that already attached to your belt before you go, but in general, like, toss it in your bag and call it good, right? Or if you have a dedicated belt, you can have that belt separate but brought with you. But those big things, I think, are going to be around targets and the things that are required to have those, to be able to set those up. So at the very basic, you're looking at paper targets.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few ways to pull that off. And a lot of those items you can't necessarily fit into your bag.
No.
Like, you're not going to fit a USPSA paper target in your bag or a set of sticks or a stand.
You can fold it, bro. I don't know about the sticks. Well, if you tried hard enough, you could.
Get a bunch telescoping.
Of hinges, yeah.
In one shot and they're broken. But you have to think around that space. So kind of like we joked about earlier with the need to have a stapler. With staples.
Yes.
Ironically, I don't actually keep my stapler in my bag.
What?
I keep staples in my bag.
Oh my goodness.
But I keep my stapler with my targets, actually.
Huh. Ah, that's valid. Okay. Yep.
But I know you keep your stapler with you.
I leave it in my bag. My thing is making sure I actually have my staples because I tend to run out all the time.
Okay. So what else do you think would be an essential item to have in your range bag? I've got a few more, but I want to hear what you say before I take the next.
So, I mean, do you want me to just list everything out that I think of, or are we just going to alternate back and forth?
I think what we can do here is think of an area that you would have to have the items that would support you in that section. Like for targets, staples and stapler would be a good item. So, and I'll put another one out there. If you are shooting a red dot mm-hmm. on any firearm, whether it's a rifle or if it's a pistol...
Mm-hmm.
Then Tyler's laughing over here. You should have batteries with you.
Yeah, he's right, because every single time mine dies and I borrow, I'm like, dude, my red dot just died. Here you go.
Especially if you carry that pistol on a regular basis and you haven't looked down the optic in a while to make sure that it's not dead.
And in my context, because for those who have listened, I carry a Shadow Systems MR920 War Poet, which is a Gucci Glock 19 clone. And on it, I have a Holosun 507C ACSS Vulcan, which partner with Primary Arms. So I have that massive, like, I don't know, like 120 MOA big circle that surrounds the dot. And because of it, and since I carry that gun every single day, my dot dies in about a month. And typically, you should be able to take about six months.
Right.
But because I carry it every day and because of that massive circle... My red dot dies all the time, unfortunately, because that's how I choose to carry. And end of the day, the way I see it is tactics is cheating. And I'm ready in that context of concealed carry, as we spoke about a few episodes ago, I need every single advantage I can get because as a defender, as a protector, I'm already on the losing end of tactics.
So along with the batteries.
Yes.
What else are you bringing in support of that red dot?
In support of my red dot, probably a screwdriver.
Yes. I was curious if you were going to bring it up or not.
Which, funny enough, I don't carry that either, so I always borrow Phillips.
I have, and I will say that on the item...
Clearly, Phil is a lot more prepared than I am.
Depends what it is. I just put stuff in the bag over time, and it builds up, right? And it does get a little heavy over time.
Talk about your pouch, man.
And I am a USPSA shooter, so I have a wagon that I take with me to carry all my stuff from stage to stage.
And I borrow his wagon, too.
That is also true. There's a lot of borrowing going on here. I borrow Tyler's snacks. I don't return them, though.
Yeah, I don't want those back. I definitely don't want those back, bro.
I carry a bag of tools. Now, this is up to the individual, and I have, like, I carry Allen wrenches, screwdrivers, additional, like, sometimes I got some backup screws. If the optic or whatever came with backup screws, I usually toss those in there as well. And then if your optic also requires a specific tool to adjust it, like I'm trying to think of like a really tiny like Allen wrench like size that you may not traditionally have with you, or in the case of like an optic for your pistol, the screws are like really tiny, and the slot that goes in there is really small. And a lot of times those vendors will give you that tool. So I literally, when I buy an optic, I pull those tools out. And after getting it set up, I put it right into my tool bag. So I have probably the same size Allen wrench times 10 in my bag, just because a lot of people will use the same size for their stuff.
Yeah.
But I do keep it in there. There are probably a few other things to think about from adjusting a sighting perspective. If you shoot irons, especially if you're shooting an AR, and I can't speak for AKs, they probably just use a hammer, but if you're using if you're using an AR, there is a tool for the front sight if you're shooting a irons, again, that you would have to use to be able to adjust that. Same thing with, like, the CZ Scorpion's got their own unique tool. I'm sure that all those, like, different brands have a different tool for adjustment.
Yeah.
So my easiest thing and my biggest advice on that is just take that tool, put it right in your bag, and call it good.
Mm-hmm. So what else? What else do you have in your bag, Philip? Since I technically... I mean, you kind of hinted at me what else to get, but based on your red dot. So what else? What else do you like to have in your bag,
Doc? Okay, so those are kind of like the essential range outdoor things as well. I would toss in, you know, cleaning supplies or a boar snake into that as well, too.
Which, funny enough, I don't have those either in my bag. I don't think about that stuff.
If you're shooting a match, depending on what match it is, if you're shooting a rifle and a match, chamber flag, a necessity as well, too, because most of those shooting competitions require it.
For
USPSA,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which goes to show, because, yes, I have shot USPSA. I've done a few of them, but it goes to show the difference between Philip and I, because for me, I don't really think about that, because I don't have a I have chamber flags somewhere, but I don't really hold on to them often or bring them with me because, well, I don't shoot PCC for USPSA. And the only other competition I can think of don't require it. So, and when I'm shooting by myself or with other buddies, I make sure that things are safe, clear, open, or my gun is constantly basically at that Sewell position anyway.
Right.
So that's where I'm like, eh. So possibly. But going back to another thing that I like to carry is a Sharpie.
Yeah, actually, I was just thinking about that.
I love having a Sharpie with me. So whether you use paper targets or even an IPSC target, a Sharpie is essential. So now you can actually, I like to mark where my shots are and even to maybe take notes on my target. So this way I know like how well I'm doing. And this way when I shoot again, it's like, hey, perfect. I didn't shoot that there.
Ironically, Tyler always jokes about borrowing my stuff, but I end up always inevitably borrowing his Sharpie.
Yes.
I went through my range bag today. Mm-hmm. I found two Sharpies in
my range bag. Are those my Sharpies?
No, they're mine because I remember putting them there at one point. Yeah, you're welcome to have them because I'm sure I've used up a whole Sharpie at some point.
Funny because on my battle belt, I didn't notice this because the way I have my battle belt set up, I have a tourniquet around the 12:30, 1 o'clock position and it's horizontal. So I just stick a Sharpie kind of in between where the tourniquet and the holder is, and I just noticed there are two Sharpies in there. I don't know how that happened.
So you bring up a good point when talking about tourniquet. When you're at a range and you are shooting a firearm, it is inherently, like, the device itself is not dangerous, but behind the person using it inappropriately is dangerous.
Of course.
So, Tyler, I know you're kind of big into this space, so I'm going to let you talk to it a little bit. I say let you.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, oh, okay.
Tyler, I give you permission
to talk. Yeah, you give me permission to do it. All right. So, for me, I have essentially probably three separate med kits with me. Wow. At least two. I definitely have two pretty much almost at all times. Actually, I don't even know. I feel like I have so many just random. Because my range bag has my battle belt. And that already has a tourniquet on top of it with the Sharpie. And I have a Blue Force Gear, their I forgot what it's called, but their med pouch in a sense. And it has a trauma gauze. It has the Israeli bandage. It has, man, what else does it have? Oh, it has gloves. I know as he opens up
as they open it up.
I have trauma shears and just a bunch of things to make sure that, hey, if someone gets shot, we are good. And I pretty much have that. I have four of those. And depending on how, where I'm at and what I have, because I have that basically same, all of those same medical supplies in my personal backpack that I pretty much carry everywhere. Of course, on my battle belt, my plate carrier has it. And I feel like there's one more that I'm forgetting.
Do you have one in your car?
I do not have one in my car.
But if you have all this stuff with you, you'll have one.
So I guess it is three, because my backpack is pretty much always with me and it's already in there and it's on an ankle medical kit. I wear slim pants, so my ankle medical kit really prints like terribly.
It's a tumor.
Yeah, so I'm not about the boot cut leg thing, so I can't do it. I wish I could. I tried it. I could not do it.
What you don't know, listeners, is that Tyler wears chaps almost exclusively to the range because he likes to be a cowboy.
Yeah, that's not even close
to go with his revolver.
That is not even close to being true. I don't know. It's a lie. I just shot my first revolver like a couple months ago.
That's funny.
I just never really cared. So what would you, Philip? What do you have in your med pouch?
So I actually, what I do is when I go to the range, I always have the med pouch right on top of my bag. So as I'm getting my stuff out to get ready, it's always cognizantly, it's there on the top, right? Mm-hmm. And it's nice because it's all into its own pouch. I'll kind of step into the unit a little bit, but Tyler kind of covered a lot of the items that I have in mind, so I'll leave it at that. But I leave it on top. If I'm with somebody else, I pull that out, and then I set it out, and I tell them out loud, make sure everybody hears it before we get going, that if you need medical equipment, there is a pouch of equipment right here. And then additionally, I keep another set of medical equipment or medical first aid stuff, including tourniquet and all that, within the back of my vehicle as well. And I actually have multiple tourniquets in there. In theory, at a range, if you're going to have an accident, you're probably only going to need one tourniquet unless you shoot through one person and then another person. But you're not going to have like a mass like shooting or casualty event, right?
I hope.
Right. And you never know, right? So you can obviously I have extras with me in case something really crazy happens. Mm-hmm. But that's just always in the back of my vehicle anyway, in case something really crazy happens. But I have this little pouch from North American Rescue. They're known primarily for the CAT tourniquet. Some employer, and this is my pro tip here, some employer HSAs will allow you to purchase from them because it is technically like medical equipment. So if you think of like a Band-Aid, you can use your HSA to buy a Band-Aid, right?
Interesting.
So my HSA at the time, and I have now switched jobs, so I don't know if my current one does or not, but they allowed me to use my HSA to purchase products from North American Rescue.
Nice.
Which is fantastic. So if we get to the point where we're like, all right, we got a little extra money in there, let's invest in some of that protective equipment, for example. So in that setup, typically I always do a black tourniquets on my stuff just because that's very like common to get them in that color. But this specific kit that I pull out at the range has a bright orange tourniquet. So in the event of something does happen, that if somebody were to show up from a like an ambulance or whatever, first responder shows up, then they're going to immediately see the tourniquet on that individual. So, yeah. But other than that, I pretty much have all the same stuff that Tyler's got. Gauze, there's gloves and like wound packing stuff as well.
Yep, quick clot. Your quick clot bleeding control dressing as I have it pulled up right in front of me.
Yep. The one thing I don't like about this pack is it is black.
Do you have a hypothermia blanket?
I do. I have it in my other bag.
Okay.
But the only thing I like about this pack is it is black.
It's like super glue. Need super glue, bro.
Then I need to put a little first aid. The cross on the front.
Because I didn't really know it was when you're crafting. I was like, what is that?
Yeah. Yep.
I didn't realize that's your. It would be nice if you had like a little patch that of the red cross on it.
Yeah. And that's something cross. I just need to order from Amazon, it's cheap like and slap it on there.
$3, $5, whatever. So I get that, but okay.
So a question for you, Tyler. Yep. Now we've looked at kind of the essentials for indoor, essentials for outdoor, essentials from like a medical equipment perspective. Now that we've kind of graduated to the point where we are doing things that are more dynamic shooting perspective, what kind of like items would you specifically look at from, like, let's say I want to record how I'm doing. What kind of items am I looking at?
So it really depends, of course. If you're at a range, and for us, we have a range that can go, well, there's a berm that goes all the way up to 100 yards, which is awesome. And it'd be nice if you had a rangefinder. If you had a rangefinder and cones. I love bringing cones.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do not have cones in my bag.
I do my best to keep cones with me. So this way it's like, hey, I can actually mark the spot and we can run drills, run to it. And it'd be awesome. Having that rangefinder would be great. And also, depending on your context, if you're a USPSA shooter, even if you're an avid shooter like me, I love metrics, a shot timer.
Yeah, and shot timer is one of those things where it's an investment.
Oh yeah.
And it's not necessarily a sexy investment, right?
I think it is.
I do, now that I
especially
have,
especially when it goes to beep.
Yep. And then your brain falls out of your head.
You're welcome for not doing online for all you earphone listeners.
Yeah.
Philip wants
to. Tyler wouldn't let me hit the shot
timer. Don't you dare. Yeah, just do it. I don't care about you. You're an adult. You can do whatever you want, man. Almost old enough to be my dad.
Gosh,
I just had to.
Not quite. I'm at 13, so that's. I mean, I could technically.
I have some friends. Well, maybe not friends, but
anyway. shot timer, I would think, is definitely a really important item to have with you. Now, we use the PACT. I think it's a Competition Electronics PACT timer. We use that one, and I found that it works really well. There's a lot. I've had this for like 7 years. At the time I had it, you know, I think I paid $80 for it. There's some really fancy ones that are Bluetooth today. Yeah. I heard about one recently that's actually developed by the guys that developed the Practice Core website that actually goes off of your watch, which is Apple Watch, which is really cool.
I heard about that.
That's nice because then if you're always wearing your watch, it's with you. Yep. Plus, it doesn't actually rely on audio. It actually uses the like haptics from your wrist. Moving
that's so cool.
From the draw and shooting, which is really cool. I've not used it, so I can't speak to it, but I have heard about it and something that you can definitely look into.
Yeah, there are a lot of great shot timers out there. And it's really cool because now it gives you a metric, because let's say you are shooting and you're able to really fight yourself. For me, like, I'm chasing that sub-second draw right now.
Right.
I am a consistent and accurate sub. I can do a sub-second draw easily.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you accurately, though?
Yeah.
No. I'll probably get a Delta, maybe a Charlie, but I really want to get that sub-second draw with an Alpha. I would love that. Get that consistent from concealment, which, funny enough, Phil knows this, but I am faster at drawing from concealment than drawing from a level 2 holster outside of the waistband, strong side. It's hilarious to me. But that's my context, because I practice more conceal carry stuff. So, and a shot timer is nice, and now I saw a video from Lucas at T-Rex Arms, actually, how what he did is, this was a video, it was like a flashback video from 2018, and he had a thing where he's shooting groups, and it was like he did 5 strings of 4 or something like that. He had 20 shots, and they're all consistent. They're all about 3 seconds. So then what he did was like, okay, if I keep this and I keep doing this, will I become a better shooter? No, because he's doing the exact same thing. He already knows he's getting alphas.
Yeah.
So what does he do? He speeds himself up.
Yep.
He gets to 2.5 seconds. He's still in alphas. He gets to 2.2, still in alphas. 1.8, he had a Charlie. So now that tells him, okay, he needs to slow it down a little bit, maybe around like that 1.9, maybe 2.0. And now he knows, like, hey, because he had a metric to build it off of.
Right. I think that's one thing that, like, some people poo-poo on shooting USPSA. USPSA will get you killed in the streets. But if you're looking for metrics to find out if you're improving, USPSA will do that for you, because you're pitting yourself against other people, and all those people, not all of them, but most of the really good shooters are classified.
Yes.
Right? And they're based on a classification system, and it's not perfect. But that classification system does allow you to find out where you're at shooting against other people. So there's like a, you know, you can go from D all the way up to a GM level shooter, right? Yep. And you can kind of figure out where that's at. And then again, with the classifier system, there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of thought put into those classifiers. And sometimes, like, the classifiers will get shot out. Somebody figures out a really, really easy way to shoot it, a fast way to shoot it, and then they'll practice that over and over again, and it gets shot out. And it's not as great as it was in the past. So thinking about other items too, Tyler, that you'd have in your bag, and I'm because I'm a dad, I was thinking about the less sexy items that are in there. Things like bug spray, sunscreen.
I don't have those.
I have them in a side pouch on my on my bag. And then honestly, even for the winter, I have a set of hot hands that I keep in my bag.
Which I borrow from Philip every single time.
Which he also borrows, and he does not give them back, though. So
no.
So that's not borrowing.
It's, well, I do have hand warmers in my get-home bag, which is in my trunk.
Right, but so, you don't have to take them out of there if you don't want to.
Yes, but if I'm... The question is, I'm not always in my car. Sometimes we ride together or ride with somebody else. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. So there's some things I keep in my get-home bag that can apply to this, like an extra pair of gloves, jacket. I probably should put sunscreen in there now that I think about it.
Yeah, I actually make a point with gloves, too. So I actually keep gloves in my bag. I reload, so I typically pick up brass at the end of the match. Mm-hmm. And it is a dirty business, plus it helps with your lead levels a lot.
Yes.
People may joke about it, but it is seriously an issue for reloaders to have lead problems. So,
good thing you don't smoke.
I don't think there is there lead in
I don't know. I felt no like idea. After I said, I'm like, wait, that doesn't even goes to show how much knowledge I have in
I know,
that stuff.
All
I'm
that smoking
look it
that
up
you
right
do.
Now.
So I do keep gloves in my bag as well, just for picking up brass at the end of every match. I am a brass bandit.
It does. So. Cigarette smoke contains lead.
I'm not surprised. It contains all the
goodness.
Bad.
All right.
It contains all the bad stuff.
I feel a little better now.
But one other thing I do as well is I keep an extra set of hearing protection and eye protection.
I do as well.
In my bag. Because if I'm taking somebody else, they may have forgotten it. Or if I'm at a match, inevitably somebody's going to forget one of those items.
Yep.
Or they're going to have batteries that go dead, and then I'll pop my batteries out of a pair of my electronic hearing muffs and then hand it to them and let them use as well. So there's definitely a advantage to having duplicates if you can carry it with you. Obviously, it takes up more space, but I have at least one additional set of that with me.
For sure.
Is there anything, Tyler, that you keep in your range bag that would be considered different than like an essential item? I've got a couple.
The big thing that I can think of right now off the top of my head was what I alluded to earlier as my duty belt, my battle belt, whatever you want to call it.
Hmm.
So it's essentially always in there because once again, I carry a duffel bag. So
you can put a lot in there.
I can put quite a bit in there. So I have my duffel bag. So in my duffel bag, I have my duty belt, which has... Yeah, it's got the gloves on it, has tourniquet, has my level 2 Safariland holster, 2 Estac Kiwis, 3 actually, 2 for pistol, 1 for rifle, and then my Essentials mag pouch for my med kit. So, and a dump pouch from Blue Force Gear as well, I believe.
Yeah, interesting.
So I keep it in there in case I decide to use it, because sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But at least it's nice to have it there in case I want to, especially if I bring my AR, because sometimes I want my belt on so I can actually reload from a belt versus concealed carry. I can only reload from my pistol holster.
Right. Or a pocket, I guess.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario.
That's true. But for me, it's nice to have because I train reloads a lot. Don't know why, but I do. I think it's fun. That's probably why.
Hey, to each their own.
I guess. So for you, Philip, what about you?
So, because I am not like Tyler, and I have a problem with purchasing too many different firearms, I keep it's a lot of extra weight, it seems like. And it seems like my bag will be packed, and sometimes it does feel that way, and I do purge it from time to time. But there's a side pouch in that bag that's specifically set up for magazines.
Yep.
I keep at least one magazine for every firearm, especially pistols, again, because it's very set up for pistols, every pistol that I own.
Yep.
Including, I also keep an AR mag in there, at least one. And then, like, I have a Scorpion that I shoot for funsies, so I keep one of those in there as well, too. Because I have forgot that stuff in the past, and I've kicked myself. I even have a 1911 magazine in there.
Just when was because the last time you shot
it's
that
been
thing?
Forever, but they're thin, and they can fit
I
in
guess.
No problem.
Because for me, it's not, those are not in my range bags, because they're in my ammo boxes.
Oh, so I keep. Yeah, I don't do that.
I keep all of my mags in my ammo boxes, whether my 9mm, so all my Glock mags go in my 9mm and my AR mags go in my 5.56 box. And that's it. And I make sure I bring those, obviously. So that's what I do.
Huh.
It works for me.
Yeah, I mean, and that's if that's the way that you do it. And you're very much like you have one pistol that takes
exactly.
Glock mags that you use. And then if you are bringing your shield out, you're probably more intentional to bring those magazines with you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
if I bring my shield, if I bring my M&P Shield Plus, it kind of comes in the holster anyway.
Right. You have at least one mag with you.
I'll have two because the main one and then the spare mag pouch. So
other just fairly random items I keep in there at all times because these are items I've forgotten and don't take up a lot of space. Yeah. I keep a rifle sling with me. Actually, I have two in my bag right now. And actually, this left over from a match that I did last year. They just kind of both ended up in there. I haven't taken them out yet.
Yeah. I kind of wish I got, because I have a couple of rifles, I probably would like to get one more sling so I could put an extra in there because I have gone to the range because for me, I like to keep my rifle sling on my home defense gun, which is a 300 blackout.
Mm-hmm.
So I have had times where I bring my 5.56 to the range and I forget my sling.
Yep.
It's happened before and I knock myself. I'm like, well, I guess it's fine. I'll make it work. But of course, I won't be able to do more manipulations like I would like. Right. I can do reloads, but that's about it. I mean, I could throw my AR on the ground. I guess I could do that. Like, I'm out. Boom.
Do John Wick it.
I know. Yeah, just throw it out the
whip
target.
It over at him and, take the target out. Goodness. That'd violate so many range rules. I don't even
know. Well, if I just throw it straight, muzzles down range.
With a bayonet in the front, right?
Perfect. There we go. Problem.
Last few items I keep in there that is completely random is I keep a set of knee pad inserts just because I tend to forget those. Yep. I've got a few competitions we run, and I always get mad, kick myself if I don't have them. They're inserts, so they're pretty small. So again, it seems like a lot of items. But honestly, I also use them as padding. I like to pad. I have a case for my pistol I put in my bag as well, but I like to, and that's padded. But I like to have anything hard that the knee pads will also pad as well to keep them from damaging the equipment that's around it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there's anything sharp or pokey or whatever, I kind of wrap it in those. So that helps out. They kind of serve a double duty there. And the one item that I keep that not everybody will have is I keep a copy of all of my NFA paperwork for the NFA items that I own.
You don't have a choice.
Because I have to have them with me. Yep. I actually keep multiple copies. I have one of them. Both my vehicles have them, and then I keep one in my rifle bag. That's typically where they are, my NFA items. And then I keep a set in my range bag as well. So that way I don't have to worry about having those with me. And again, the likelihood of somebody asking is super small, but you are legally required to have them with you, and it is what it is, and I don't want to have to deal with it. So there goes my NFA paperwork inside my range bag at all times.
For sure. So to piggyback off what Philip just said, I keep a pair of knee pads in my range bag as well. Phil has pads that he puts inside his because they're inserts.
Yep.
For me, I like the Arc'teryx Leaf Combat knee pads. Which,
Gucci knee pads, bro.
I like them. I like them a lot.
They're actually not that expensive.
No, $70. I like them. I've used them now for the past couple of years, and I put them outside, and I'm able to transfer it, which is... Excuse me, I tried my best to hold that one in, but I really like them, and I've actually used them more for, like, jobs around the house or jobs around the church more than I have at the range, I feel like. One time, I remember buying them, and the day after getting them, I was working on the sprinklers at my church.
That's hilarious.
It was hilarious, but I love the fact that I had them with me.
Yeah, and knee pads may seem like a go-fast guy thing, but I'll be honest. Like, we've been at – there's a match that we out in West Virginia, and they had, like, chip down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I had my knee pad inserts. It was totally fine. There was another gentleman that we were with that did not have them, and his knees got completely tore up, blood and everything. So consider where you're going to be at and what you're going to be shooting and how you're going to be shooting and include that stuff in there. Obviously, USPSA, you don't need knee pads unless you plan on doing, like, slides, which I'm sure there's a violation for that.
And you never know. But either way, it depends on your context and what you're doing. You can have so many other things. One thing, like if you have USPSA targets, pasters.
Yeah.
Those are great to have,
too. Or tape even works as well.
Tape, yep. Something. But once again, if you had a Sharpie or even a pencil or pen, that works almost as well. Because the idea of it is to mark your targets. That's all it is. That's all you're doing.
I thought you were going to say mark your territory.
No. Oh, my goodness. So it really depends on your context and what you have and what you need. So all that to say, it depends.
So what's the most important thing that you have in your range bag all times, Tyler?
My gun. Oh, wait, not my gun, because that doesn't go in my range bag.
What's the most important thing you have in your range bag all times?
Haichu.
Thank you. Snacks. I'm so glad you picked up on what I was going with.
I knew where you're going with it. I thought about, like, am I really going to let him have this? I decided to because I felt like
snack
it.
Packs. I do keep food in there, and I usually keep Clif Bars in there. And I have found Clif Bars in my bag as I clean it out once a year. I found them that were well expired.
That's like, hilarious.
Crap. There goes $3 out the window.
Yeah. So that's really about it. So really depends on your context, where you're at, how proficient you are, how much experience you have in training. So you can go anywhere. As like Philip said, if you're going to an indoor range, you can, all you need is your ID.
Yeah.
Down to pretty much anything that you can fit in there. So it really depends.
And build up over time, because yes, obviously we've talked about the items that are essentials, to the items that are like nice to haves, to the items that are like, you know, I mean, I would say like a shot timer is something I think everybody should have at some point.
Agreed.
But you don't need to start with it, right? No. It's something that you can invest in later. After a while, then again, there are options that are outside of a traditional shot timer.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's all I've got.
If that's it, shooter ready.
Stand by. Have a great day. See you next week.